tonight. So while we're in the book of Judges, chapter 14 and 15, I'm going to try to get through two chapters tonight. you're going to tell me something you know about Samson. What do you know about this guy named Samson in the Bible? Tell me something, somebody. Okay, Samson had a problem with women. He really did, and that is true. He likes pretty women. We're going to see that. What else? Until a pretty woman got in the way, and he, yes, okay. And he is a Nazarite by vow, right? Which means three parts of the Nazarite vow. See if you remember this. We talked about this. You cannot drink any wine. You cannot touch any dead body. And something else cannot touch your head. A razor, all right? You're not, just not to cut your hair. No dead, can't touch a dead body. And no drinking of any wine. So that was the Nazarite vow. So that's what we know. What else do you know about Samson? He was a pretty strong dude, yes. I don't know. I really don't know, quite honestly, how this all works. You know, all the pictures you have, Samson's like this hulking guy. But I really, because if you look at this, the power, the strength goes on and off of Samson, right? So it had really nothing to do with his physique. He probably looked more like your pastor and was able to accomplish great and mighty things when the power of God was on him. But when the power of God was taken off, he probably looked more like your pastor. You get the idea? I mean, that's, I don't know, but in the pictures, we always have this mighty man. And it could be that God actually let him be this big hulk who had no power when God's hand was off of him, right? To surprise people the other way, you know, that, wow, he should be strong, and yet he's not. What else do you know about Samson? He was used of God, unquestionably used of God. He liked to toy with sin a lot. We preached on him a few weeks back on Samson and Delilah. That's not the stories that we're looking at today, but he did. He liked to play with sin. Remember, he would kind of toy with that, you know, if you tie me up with this, if you do this to me, if you do this to me, and then he would break free and go out and beat everybody up, and then eventually God's power left him. Jonathan? Samson did have he had some issues, right? One of those was anger. One of those was he liked pretty women. Yeah, we see a lot of issues. Brother Bud? That's what the Bible says. As he was able to knock down the temple there, then he killed more in his death than he did in his life. And we're going to read a story where he kills 1,000 people here today, so... Oh, yeah, remember when the Lord's power left him? The Bible says that he did not know, or he wist not. He did not know that the power of God had left him. He was so disconnected, really, from what God was doing because he was concentrating on the game he was playing with Delilah that he went out and shook himself and was expecting to win again like he did before and did not. But Bill. He did eventually, yes, that's right, and God, that is a wonderful truth, isn't it, that after his life had literally become a cliche, you know, no one would want their kid to be like Samson because his life was a disaster. At the very end of his life, he got right with God, and God honored him by putting his hand upon him again to do that one last thing in which he took more people in his death than he did in his life. He did not follow his parents' counsel. But I want you. Here's what I'm trying to get across. Have you noticed what we're saying here? Yes, God used him. Yes, God blessed him. We just can't figure out why. For the life of us, we can't figure out why. I mean, honestly, Samson was a scoundrel. I mean, there's really very little good. You don't want your kids to grow up to be like Samson. You don't. He's not a good example. He is rude and inconsiderate to his parents, to those around him. He's arrogant and proud and boastful, and he's all of these things. And yet, We're going to go back to chapter 13 and read one verse before we pray, and then we'll jump into chapter 14. Take a look at verse 24, the end of chapter 13. Verse 24 says, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him." Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would just help us tonight as we look at this man named Samson, that we would understand some things about you, about ourselves, about him, right and wrong, that we would see examples that we should and should not follow. We pray that you would just help us to glean some things from these passages, and we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's an amazing statement here that the Bible starts out this way, that God blessed Samson. That's how the initial of the introduction is to Samson. He was born, and God blessed him. So please, hear this. God blessed Samson, not because of anything Samson did. He's just born, right? Do you understand this? This has nothing to do with God saying, "Wow, Samson, you're a great guy, so I'm going to bless you." This is God simply saying, for whatever reasons that God does some things that we struggle with, he said, "I'm going to use and bless this man named Samson, who is going to show you the human side of trying to be a man of God again and again and again, rather than showing you the godly example. He's going to show you the human side." And I would just challenge you with this, with a couple things. First of all, don't put Samson on a pedestal, all right? Put the Lord on a pedestal, because what you see good in Samson's life is the Lord at work. Having said that, lest you and I become proud and arrogant in our own life, can I point this out? Anything good that has happened in your life, through your life, is because God has been good, not because you've earned it. Do you understand? Not because I've earned it. It is because God just chooses to bless us in spite of the fact that we're human beings. It's repeated throughout the Scripture. Remember, God chose to bless Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Read through their stories. It's not like these are great glowing stories of wonderful examples. They were human beings, and they show forth their humanity. It just seems to be very concentrated in the life of this man named Samson. Let's start in chapter 14. Let's take a look at it. And Samson, now he's a grown man, went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And there's Miss Joy's statement. He did like pretty women. He did. And he had a problem with a roving eye. And he came up and told his father. Does anybody have a problem with that first statement right there? Yeah, okay. He went up and told his father and his mother and said, "I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife." Hello? Does this seem backward to anyone else? All the kids are saying, "Amen." All the parents saying, "Oh me, this is not the way this works," right? You do not go and make demands of mom and dad. I don't care if you are a grown man, and I don't care if you are a grown man with the hand of God on your life. Do you understand? You still have a responsibility to honor, and so here it is. So then it goes on down, he says, in verse 3, then his father and his mother, this is what Brother Bob was referring to a minute ago, he did not listen to his parents much, then his father and his mother said to him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me." Well, hello. See any more problems yet? Now, I'm about to read a verse that's going to, I'm right with you. I'm saying to you, Samson's attitude, Samson's demanding spirit, Samson's going after this woman of the Philistines, etc. This is not a good thing. But look at the next verse, verse 4. But his father and his mother knew not that it was, what's those next three words? Hmm. This is a tough pill to swallow. This is hard, is it not? Samson is being demanding. Samson is not treating his parents the way he ought. He's not being respectful. Samson is literally violating, you know, the law of the Lord by going after a woman of the Philistines. Having said that, God says here that what he is going to do is use this circumstance to teach the Philistines a lesson about himself. Now, I want you to just think this through, and let's talk through this for a moment, all right? Does God want us to violate his law? Let me put it another way in New Testament vernacular so that you understand it. Should we sin that grace would abound? What's the answer? God forbid. God forbid. Have you, I'm not asking for testimonies tonight, all right? Have you ever done something that was spiritually brutish? Those of you who can remember the word brutish, that's that Proverbs word that means, I'm not going to say it because you have little kids in here, but it means ignorant, not so smart, okay? You ever done anything that was brutish and it still worked out? I mean, have you ever just done something that you know was the wrong thing to do? That the decision you made was a bad decision, and yet when you get to the other side, the grace of God is a difficult thing to fully grasp, is it not? How that we could make such a horrible blunder, and yet God still is able to use it for his glory and his honor. So I'm saying to you that what is happening here with Samson is not that Samson is being obedient because he's violating the law. He's not honoring his parents. He's not going seeking a wife of the children of Israel or of the people that God has told him to do so. In fact, God commands the children of Israel, don't take wives of these groups, right? God's very specific. Read it. And yet God says, I'm going to take what Samson is doing and I'm going to use it in spite of Samson, not because of him. This is why I wanted to show you that the blessing of God started not because of Samson. Do you see this? From the day Samson was born, God began to bless. It had nothing to do with Samson. It has to do with God. God says, I'm going to... Folks, this is really not as hard to imagine as we think. Because if God uses us in any way, it is in spite of us, is it not? I mean, maybe, am I the only vile, wicked sinner in the room here? I mean, does God just use us in spite of the fact that we do not deserve to have the hand of God upon our lives? And so God's giving us a really clear example in this man named Samson. And God's going to use him mightily, and God's going to do some great things with Samson in spite of the fact that Samson has a series of problems that we keep coming across here. So you get the idea. It says in verse 4, his father and mother knew not it was of the Lord that God sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And so that's how this thing starts. And they go down and they're going to get this woman to be Samson's wife. And go on to verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came at midnight upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father. I'm sorry, I left out verse 5. I kept thinking, wait a minute, I didn't tell you about the roaring lion there in verse 5. A young lion comes and roars, and Samson literally barehanded rips the lion apart and then doesn't tell anybody. That's an important aspect of the rest of the story. I'm going to tell you the story because I don't have time to read this whole chapter. So here's what happens. Samson doesn't say anything to anybody, and he goes and he begins to bargain with the Philistines so that he can get this woman and so he can do all these things and this... And all these 30 pieces of clothing come up, and Samson comes back a little before that, by the way, I forgot, but Samson comes back the next day, and what's in the lion? Remember the story? Say it again. A beehive, honeycomb. So I'm going to tell you, Samson is about to violate the Nazirite vow. What's he not allowed to do? can't touch a dead body, a dead carcass. He's not allowed to go near this lion that he's killed. But now he goes up, he puts his hand inside the dead lion, and he pulls out the honey, and he eats it. And so then he goes and he meets these men, and this is where he likes to play with sin. He has this problem. It's an arrogance about himself. God continues to use him in spite of himself, not because of himself, but God's going to use him. But so he says, I'm going to give you a riddle. And that's exactly what the Bible uses, the word riddle. It's kind of an interesting thing. Look at let me see if I can find, where's the riddle mentioned first? Verse 12, there he is. And Samson said unto him, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garment. I guess that must have been a big thing back then, right? I'm going to give you 30 changes of clothes and 30 sheets. Okay, there you go. I'm assuming that must have been a good deal back then. But if you cannot declare it, then you're going to give me these things. And so then he's going to put forth the riddle. Here it is. Out in verse 14, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. Now the eater is the lion, and the meat and the sweet is the honey. And so he puts forth this riddle. All right. So here's Samson. He just kind of seems to, throughout this short storied life of his, seems to enjoy playing with sin. Just kind of around the edges. And what he's doing with each one of these, whether it's Delilah or whether it's this situation with these men here, is really what he's failing to do. Please read the story. He's failing to say, the God of heaven. This is the difference between Samson and David. David stood before Goliath and said, the God of heaven is going to show you who he is today because you're going down. And God's taking you down, right? And so then, you know, he throws the rock at Goliath, and he comes down. But God gets all of the glory from the mouth of David. From Samson, it's like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Samson, it's about him. Same way with Delilah. And he's playing this game, and God's going to use him anyway. God's going to take this sinful behavior of Samson and teach the Philistines a lesson. And so that's this story that's there. And of course, you already know the riddle, and they don't figure it out. So then they have to come down and get these things. But verse 20, it says, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Now, we could make a whole lot about that statement about Samson using him as his friend, his companion. But Samson was given this woman to wife, and now these men are offended at Samson, and now his wife has been given away. And that begins a situation where Samson is offended, all right? And Samson is going to, because he's offended, he is going to take out vengeance upon these men. So what's the next thing that happens in this story? Anybody remember the next thing? This is a big story about Samson. Yeah. He ties the foxes' tails together, and in the middle of the foxes' tails is a torch, a firebrand, the Bible calls it. And then he lights the torch, sets the foxes loose into the fields, and the fields all burn down. The corn and the vineyards, they all burn down. And the Philistines are not happy people, as you might guess. And so they come to the children of Judah. And they say, turn Samson over to us or we're coming after you. And the children of Judah are, at this time, remember, God just told you, the children of Judah are under the rule of the Philistines. This is why God wants to teach them a lesson. God said, you know, from the beginning, his parents didn't understand that God was going to use this and teach them a lesson because they were under their thumb. And so they come to the children of Judah. The children of Judah said, give us a chance, give us a chance. They take 3,000 men, go up to find Samson in the mountain. They said, come with us because we're going to turn you over to the Philistines. And Samson says, I'll go with you on one condition. Might know the condition? Yeah, you promise that you won't attack me. because Samson does not want to turn on God's people. And so he says, you promise you won't attack me, you hand me over the Philistines, and we'll be absolutely fine. And then that time comes, and the next big story about Samson that everybody's heard, he's about to kill 1,000 people, almost barehandedly. What does he do? Yeah, he finds the jawbone of a dead donkey. Now, I don't know how exactly. In my mind, I can envision it. I see a jawbone. I suppose it could be used like, you know, an axe. I don't know. I know that the Spirit of God is upon Samson, that this is not about Samson. I know that because Samson is showing me horrible behavior, sinful, wicked behavior all the time, in the way he treats his parents, in the way he treats women, in the way he treats other people, in the way he thinks about himself. There's no good example here, but God is going to use Samson to teach the Philistines a lesson. By the way, can I also point out that God uses all kinds of wicked, vile, sinful nations to teach the nation of Israel lessons all throughout the Old Testament, right? Do you remember how that God literally sends Persia and Cyrus and Darius in to take over Israel and take them into captivity? So God's constantly doing this. It's no surprise. Samson is not being this great example other than this. He's showing you and I that it's not about us. It's about God. Whenever God does anything through our lives, mom and dad, if your kids turn out good, it's not because you're good. Do you understand that? It's because God is good. If you aren't the greatest example of godly behavior, and yet God provides miraculously for your family, it's not because you did something to earn God's grace. It's because God is good. And that's what Samson is really teaching us, that God is good, and in spite of us, not because of us. And so here's Samson, and so now he takes the jawbone of a donkey and he slays all these people. And these are the great stories that we know about Samson, right? This is what we know. We build Samson up as if he's this great spiritual powerhouse that the hand of God is so mightily upon that no one can stand before Samson. And I'm trying to point out what the Bible's trying to point out, that it's the hand of God that is strong, not Samson. Samson is weak in virtually every area you see him. Here's what Samson is. Take the hand of God away, that's what Samson is. And what's left when you take the hand of God away from Samson? A weak, anemic person who can do nothing but be blinded and become enslaved by those around him. Without the hand of God, Samson is nothing. Does that sound like a New Testament verse to you? Without him, I can do nothing. Right? This is what the story of Samson is. It's not an opportunity to build up the man. It's an opportunity to build up the God behind the events that are taking place in the life of that man. And unfortunately, Samson actually probably more represents us than what we want to think. You know, we would like to think we're the Apostle Paul, but most of us are more like the Apostle Peter, right? We don't really fit the mold of Paul. Most of us, and even Paul, by the way, Paul wasn't Paul because Paul was this great guy. Paul was Paul because the hand of God was upon his life. And here's Samson. And wow, without Christ, without God's hand, without God's power, without the Spirit of God on us, we are useless. And every time we try in our own strength to do something, it comes out wrong. We're treating our parents wrong. We're treating other people wrong. We're being arrogant and proud and selfish and stubborn. And that's us. But the power of God makes a difference in a life. And that's what's to be learned from this story. What God can do in spite of us is amazing. Can you imagine what God does then as we follow the New Testament now? In New Testament, this is different. We have something Samson did not. We have the Spirit of God living in us. We have the Word of God in our hands, so that now with the Spirit of God, I can put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of my mind, and put on a new man. And now the hand of God can be upon a life that is no longer represented by all of those things that Samson was represented by, because we are made new in Christ. Imagine what it would have been like for Samson if he were Paul. What would have happened then? As we see an example in Paul of a man who surrendered his life to the Lord. What if Samson would have been that kind of person, instead of the person who is being used by God in spite of? So Samson's ignoring his vow, ignoring the law, going his own way, and God does all of these great things in Samson's life. Lord, teach us to use the New Testament that we have now, the Spirit of God in us, the power of God on our lives, enabling us to be conformed into the image of His Son, so that it's literally making a difference in our character. Then the hand of God on a newly formed Christian becomes Samson on steroids. Do you see that? What could God do then? Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.